Because it's budget time, let's get talking about that. Had a long meeting last night, huh?
Yes, they're always long, Scott.
A
little tired.
This is, and the newspaper talks about it this morning. We may as well dive right into that. And that is that Shannon Overby from the Convention Visitors Bureau made her presentation in College Station last week. Made her presentation to council last night. Basically, they're asking for about $480,000. In their budget. So talk to me a little bit about the presentation, and as one member of council, how you feel about that.
Thank you, Scott. Yes, Mrs. Overby came in. She talked about the Convention Visitors Bureau, where Chuck Condola is our representative on the board. Mm-hmm. We have one City of Bryan rep on a board of 16. We've been giving a little over $200,000 every year. Now we're going to be close to $500,000. So it's I think, it's like 101% increase from last year's budgeted amount. Currently, we're looking at last year's budgeted amount. No one from the City Council has moved forward yet to push the increase that they're requesting, and other entities are requesting increases too. So it's not just the CVB. The CVB does a great job for the City of Bryan and College Station, and this is new to us in Bryan, Scott. We've talked about when I first came on the council 10 years ago, we only had a handful of hotels. We were bringing in maybe a few $100,000 in hot tax, and now we'll be approaching $1 million a year in hot tax. College Station's bringing in 4 or 5 plus times that amount in hot tax, hotel motel funds. It used to not be an issue. Typically, funding is based on percentages of hot tax that comes in. So Bryan pays a percentage of what we bring in. College Station brings in a percentage of pays what they bring in. And so you have a higher amount always paid for by the City of College Station. They're continuing to increase at a higher percentage than Bryan. There's so many hotels being built, so they have the luxury of making these decisions a lot easier for them now with some new legislation where we could possibly use some of the funds in super parks and regional parks like BRAC and the north part of Bryan. This is something that we're having to evaluate on how we use those dollars and what best will benefit the citizens of Bryan.
You've always been a proponent of parks. This is something that's been very important to you. And I think the city manager spoke to the idea that there are other uses that could be made for this hot money now. And so necessarily going with that increase didn't seem to be, I'm not going to put words in the city manager's mouth, but he seemed to at least indicate that there were alternative uses. You're pro-park, so tell me, basically, how you're feeling about this then?
Absolutely. We moved forward last night at the council meeting to study and look into options for expanding BRAC, Bryan Regional Athletic Complex on the north end of Bryan. So the council as a whole is supportive of expanding those regional parks and possibly developing a new large super park. So if the funds are available to do that, then that's something we would like to do.
Now,
I'm not sure if the legislation's going to allow us to do what we wanted to do. That I'm kind of looking into and working with on staff. So I'll have some more information on that once I dive into it. But that would be the plan. In addition to all the other funding mechanisms that we can put the hot tax into that brings heads and beds. It's all about heads and beds, mm-hmm. bringing people to the community to spend the nights in the hotels and eat in the restaurants. And so that's kind of what we're working on right now. But before, we were very limited on what we could use the funds
sure.
for. And, if it wasn't Texas Reds or the Arts Council, CVB, maybe the Chamber of Commerce, that was it. You were limited on the uses.
So now let's... And obviously you were not going to speak to this last night. This is something that council's going to...
We just had a public hearing
last
night to hear from the citizens
so
about it.
So would you or any other member of council that you know of press the CVB to use some of that marketing for Bryan-specific events that take place?
Well, in the past, from my understanding, CVB has never been specific about these events. They try to do and market everything as a whole for Bryan College Station. So that's something we'd have to talk about as a council and talk with Chuck Condola as our representative and see how that would work. Again, I think City of Bryan has always been treated very fairly, particularly for the percentages that we've put into the budget. I mean, we're talking about if the new percentages are voted in, we're talking about a little less than $500,000 from the city of Bryan and almost $2 million from the city of College Station. So we have a lot of great things going on in Bryan that are promoted, and definitely get to take advantage of some of the tournaments and some of the events that happen in downtown Bryan and some of the things that happen at the Expo Center on the west side of town. So we're very pleased with the past history with the CVB, but typically when people ask for increases, it may be a small percentage at a time. I can't go back and recall any time that we've had over 100% increase. But again, that's mainly based on the percentages and the increase in hot tax that we're receiving in Bryan.
They're overlooking Jason Banski with us. Of course, you're looking over all sorts of capital improvements that take place. And so I'll let Jason Barfnick go ahead and give you basically the road projects, and I'll have you comment on them. This is from last night's discussion.
Staff had identified Leonard Road, FM 2018 grade separation, maybe splitting the cost with Blend to design that bridge. State Highway 21 sidewalks, we showed that in the forecast at $1 million. FM 158, medians and right turn lane, they're in front of the post office going up to Highway 6. And then Texas Avenue sidewalks, many phases there that we could possibly design and maybe get some TxDOT money to build some of those sidewalks.
So if you want to know where all the street construction is going to be, that's what Jason was telling us. That's a pretty aggressive move if you're going to put all those pieces together. That's a whole lot of concrete that's going to be poured and a whole lot of improvements as far as traffic is concerned.
Absolutely. A lot of things are changing in Bryan. Of course, several of these projects have to deal with Blinn College. Mm-hmm. So we have the current Blinn College campus on Villa Maria. So anything that benefits 158 and William Joe Bryan and Villa Maria, Nash Street, will benefit the residents around there, and the traffic flow and congestion that we experience, will be experiencing here in a few days from Blinn College. Mm-hmm. The Leonard Road overpass, it's kind of hard to imagine. I grew up off of Leonard Road. That's where my family are in the vicinity there, and it's hard to imagine an overpass out there, but it's hard to imagine 25,000 students that are going to be located out there in the next decade or so. So traffic will be an issue out there. We need to get ahead of the curve, and so that's something we've talked about briefly with TxDOT, something we'll be talking about with Blinn, and about partnering with them on some improvements on the infrastructure on the west side next to their new campus. I think you mentioned, Dr. Barfnick mentioned Highway 21 sidewalks and mm-hmm. Texas Avenue sidewalks. We've always been wanting to do improvements on Texas Avenue. It's the business corridor that connects both Bryan and College Station. I'd love to bury the power lines if we could. TxDOT has been working on adding a lot of sidewalks in those areas, particularly, I think, Villa Maria right now. And Highway 21 is just, particularly the east side of Highway 21, has seen major expansion, a lot of restaurants, hotels, mm-hmm. new businesses that are popping up, and it's hard getting out of some of those restaurants because of the traffic there. So anything that can help with that growth and development on that end also would be critical, and they're all worthy projects. That's the hard part, Scott. I know we're on radio, but I'm showing you that the print is so small, but there's literally hundreds of projects here, mm-hmm. and they're all worthwhile. Depending on where you live, they're more pressing and more important than some may think on other parts of town, but they're all pressing, and that's the problem. We are an aging community. Someone mentioned last night, well, College Station has this and that. Well, they're not as old as Bryan, so they're starting to experience some of those aging infrastructure problems that we've been experiencing for many decades, but that's something we've got to overcome, and we've been doing a good job of improving those areas and particularly redeveloping the older areas of Bryan, but it comes at a price. And so with some of the new development, some of the new companies that we're bringing into town, that will also enable us to have more money for these infrastructure projects and improvements.
Jason Banski joining us this morning. One of the things that you're going to reconstitute is now citizen survey. It's been about 5 years since you've done that. Can you give me an idea of what kind of methodology you're going to use? Because obviously you do want to hear from citizen groups.
Well, our CIP ranking system does incorporate, I think, 1 to 20 points of of citizen input and citizen surveys. So I haven't looked at how they're going to develop it. I've seen citizen surveys we've done in the past when I first came on the council, and it's always good to get citizen input, particularly from the folks that can't make the council meetings every night. And we've got some other methods that we're looking at for citizen input and on projects. That's going to be the latest and greatest technology, so that's something we'll be talking about. We're working with a company that's going to come in and, for lack of another word, do polling. And so if we're talking about, let's say, the sidewalks on Texas Avenue, how important is it to the citizenry of Bryan? You know, we might have 10 people that show up at a council meeting that think it's the greatest thing in the world, or 10 people that say it's the worst thing in the world. How about the other 79,990 mm-hmm. citizens out of the 80,000? What do they think? They're at home working homework and doing homework with their kids and working and doing other things around the house and don't have time to always contact their council members and attend the meetings, but as we call them, the silent majority are crucial too. And so we want to make sure that in this system that could be in place would bring in some input on certain projects, particularly maybe some of the controversial projects or the costlier projects in regards to infrastructure and capital improvements.
Among your comments last night, a senior citizen center is something that both cities are looking at trying to have provided for them. While you had said you may have some alternatives that will be less expensive, would those alternatives also mean that it would fast-track the project itself?
Well, we've got some opportunities in Bryan that have been kind of sitting there for a few years, and so there's two or three things that we're looking at right now that could be a short-term to long-term fix for a senior citizen center. I think it's important to the whole council to provide a center of some sort to our seniors. So whether that's through the YMCA, I mean, I think that could be a 5-year or 6-10 year project down the road before the infrastructure is put in place and the buildings are built. So, I mean, those discussions have just started, but we've got some property and some individuals that have talked to us about doing some things that might work. So we need to explore those avenues. Some of them just came up this week. So if that prevents itself, then we'll see what will happen. But at this point, you know, we're looking at all options. I think we had put down it would be a $3 million project with a couple of these options. I think it would be a lot less. We also mentioned, of course, the University Drive extension was $4.2 million. That's a pretty accurate number.
All right, let's stop there because I want you to just flesh that out a little bit for us. Obviously, if you're going to have a development, the first thing you got to do is get a road through there. So we're talking about University Drive East at 158. That's where it is basically right now. What's the plan then to take it from there?
Okay, basically cross Highway 30 and keep on going from okay. University Drive East. In the old days, it was called the Copperfield Loop that looped around Copperfield Subdivision to 1179 all the way to Old Reliance and then to Highway 21 and continuing. I think in the future, you're going to see a loop around Bryan-College Station. Mm-hmm. This would be a continuation from University Drive. We have a lot of developable land that's either landlocked or you can't access, or the very, very little frontage that we can't get to without a loop. So I think if we put in the loop, which again the council is very supportive of, that will definitely help with some of these new projects we're looking at. We've got several subdivisions and commercial developments that would like to be out there, and so the council has budgeted and put in the CIP plan a little over $4 million for the first phase of that University Drive extension.
Well, that'd be good balance. You've got the new Walmart on the west side, so to have something else going on the east side would be a good thing. And then touch just a minute, if you would, on we had Carl Mooney in last week, and he went into some detail about Houston YMCA and their outreach to Bryan-College Station. So as a possible stakeholder in the city of Bryan, as one member of council, what are your thoughts there?
Well, YMCA has done a lot of good things in a lot of communities. I wasn't present at those meetings. We did have representatives from the city of Bryan staff that sat in on those meetings with Mr. Mooney. So right now we're just kind of in the initial phases of talking with the YMCA of exactly what services they're able to provide to both Bryan and Colossation, and what would be our involvement. I mean, I've heard many different scenarios, but I know the needs of Colossation residents are sometimes different than the needs of the Bryan residents. I think we all have seniors we need to look after. We have, there's students in both communities, so we've got both Blinn College campuses, so that, you know, he's mentioned possibly doing something with the students. So we've got, of course, our elementary school through high school students, you know, after school programs and stuff, that would be great. And then the young adults that are now residing and living in Bryan also have a need. So from elementary all the way to senior citizens, the YMCA could potentially help with that. I think there's some that are wanting a nanatorium in that concept, so that's a possibility. But again, we haven't looked at numbers and how this would work. Would there be one campus or location that's centrally located, or a couple of campuses, one in South Colossation and one in Bryan somewhere? So, but I am interested in hearing what becomes of these proposals. And I think because of our population now between the two cities of Bryan and Colossation, we are now on the radar for YMCA to potentially come in and provide services here.
Sure. Well, you covered a lot of stuff this morning. You covered a lot of stuff last night. Is there anything else you want to touch on that we haven't discussed this morning?
Absolutely. Of course, we talked about the Senior Citizen Center. I know the council's very supportive of that. I think you mentioned on WTL today the FM 158 lights, the largest thoroughfare in Bryan that doesn't have lighting. I think a lot of people don't realize that, but it's something we're working on. We also have a grant application with TxDOT to get some funds for that. We talked about a water park. I know they mentioned $24 million. I'm looking at maybe $2 million. We've got some private developers that are wanting to put that in, so we're talking about some infrastructure, maybe some land acquisition there. We've actually got a couple of landowners that are willing to donate the land for that endeavor. I mentioned an Oak Hill Animal Shelter last night. We've got people that would donate for that concept for a new facility here in Bryan, so that's something we've talked about. We've got to start planning and budgeting, and we've got to start designing if that's something we want to do. It doesn't happen overnight, but there are a lot of grand opportunities that we can apply for and some local individuals that and businesses that might give to that endeavor.
What kind of a timeline you think you got there?
The sooner the better. I think if the sooner the better. But as someone mentioned last night, the months at City Hall are a lot slower than your month and my month. So things do move slower at City Hall. So I think we need to start talking about it now, start looking at what it's going to cost. We've had our staff look at other facilities in Texas, and I think they're running, $5, $6 million. So they've got a $5.6 million budget item here. That's something that's there. I think our current facility is outdated. We've done the best we can with that facility. Staff does a great job with that facility and the resources that they're given, but our community is growing, and we seem to have a council that seems to be supportive of that, so that's something we need to look at. But I think we're all about leveraging private and public dollars to do one of these endeavors. But is the animal shelter more important than the senior citizen center? Is it more important than sewer line replacements and infrastructure improvements? And so it's always a big decision. But we did move forward last night to study and look at some options of expanding the BRAC park, and also look at still working on a super park concept with some landowners that may be willing to donate or help subsidize the land cost and putting a super park on the east or west side of town. So that's something we're underway, but never enough money to get everything that needs to be done, but a lot of good projects underway in our CIP program. I want to mention our National Night Out kickoff event is September 17th from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Target parking lot in Bryan. So I invite everyone to come out there on September 17th. Also, it's time to sign up for adult softball. So go to bryantx.gov for more information. And, of course, Texas Reds is right around the corner, September 26th and 27th, and historic downtown Bryan. If we need rain, hold on. 26th and 27th. They'll be here, and they've got a fabulous lineup. I've heard more compliments about the lineup, the music lineup this year and the venues and the vendors. And this could be the best Texas Reds festival yet. So it's already nice out there, 73 degrees this morning. So it's going to be a wonderful opportunity. We invite everyone to come out. If you want to volunteer, they're looking for volunteers, and they're also looking for vendors and anyone that would like to participate in Texas Reds. More information on bryantx.gov and also Downtown Bryan Association.
Good. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, Scott.
Yep, that's Jason Bianski, the mayor of Bryan. We visit with the mayor on alternate Wednesdays.